Hello and welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is David Cross.
How you doing?
Ghost. And Megan Hoffmeyer.
I was going to say Ghost, voiced by Megan Hoffmeyer.
So you can do the entire episode with just Ghost staring at the screen and voicing him.
It's fine with me, but I don't think he would like it.
Oh, wow.
I will.
It's theater.
That's terrible.
Well, thank you for joining us, Megan and David, to come back here, do another live episode, or not live, recorded episode with
it's
our
live.
Mugs on the screen. Yeah, there it is.
Recorded it's live, mostly live. Unedited.
If you saw the intro of this, it's live, for sure. So we had a lot of fun with our Fast and Furious draft, where we barbecued, and then we had fun with our Marvel Cinematic Universe draft. So we figured, actually you figured, David, that we should do a Blumhouse horror draft. So, I mean, what is it about Blumhouse you love, and why did you kind of pitch that idea?
Yeah, so I guess the first thing I should say is that I'm a big horror fan, and I've been a horror fan since I was a little kid. I was watching movies that I should not have watched at like 9, 10, and 11. To give you an example, I saw Freddy's Dead in the theater when I guess I would have been 10 years old at that point.
Wow.
Yeah, way too much. So I love horror movies, and what I love about Blumhouse is that they're very I think they're inventive and then very focused, right?
Yes.
So like you're watching something and like it's only this, and they don't, you typically get two out there, and then there's a cadence to them. Like you're going to get two or three a year, so like if one's not that great, you know that there's going to be another one coming up that could be amazing. And then I just like the way they think about film in general as well. It's like, make a $6-7 million movie. And that's it. Like you don't need to make a giant $300 million movie. They're just smaller. They know what they are. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, those are all really good points. I'm not a huge horror genre fan, but there's something about these movies that appeals to me. And I think that's a lot of it.
Just, I love it. Make 10 a year, right? $5 million each. Let's say three of them get released to theaters. One of them makes $100 million and they're set. I mean, it's such a great business model. And I did, and we've been going on a tear last night.
Oh, yeah.
And
well,
so,
it's October. It's, you know, the month for that kind of stuff.
Last night, oh, gosh, we watched Truth or Dare to catch up on this. Mm-hmm. We watched Black Christmas, and now we're watching, what, Black Box.
We watched Upgrade.
And then Nocturne. Oh, yeah, and we watched, so we've gone through five in the last 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Well, we haven't
finished
Black Box yet, so we're not.
Yeah, four and a half. Four and a half.
About yeah. Two-thirds.
I went through Oculus this morning, starting at like 8:30 a.m. So nothing like coffee and scares. And then last night I did Hush, and I put it on super late because I knew, I was like my partner Sarah, I was like, you got to go to bed because I'm watching a scary movie that I don't think you'll like. So I was up really late with it.
Hush is so good.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
That's on the Movies, Films, and Flicks podcast. I think we talked about that in 2015. We've been like Flanagan's been just his rise. I mean, he did what Ouija Origin of Evil. It's good, and it's one of these movies. I mean, there's a decent amount of good and bad in these, I would say.
Yeah, I was looking at IMDb, but Rotten Tomatoes top Blumhouse movies, and Ouija, depends on how you want to pronounce it. is in the top, I think, five or six best reviewed movies for Blumhouse.
It's good.
But most of them are Mike Van Flanagan's like in like six of the top ten. He's just out here like it should be the house that Flanagan built.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it kicked off in 2009 with Paranormal Activity, mm-hmm. and then we had Insidious in 2011, The Purge, mm-hmm. Conjuring. I mean, they built this on the back of really great sweaters. Patrick Wilson's cardigan.
I knew that was coming.
Ethan Hawke's sweater and Sinister. But yeah, I mean, it's a good business model. And when you're bringing in Patrick Wilson and Rose Byrne in a $1.5 million movie directed by James Wan, who and written by Lee Wannell, who went on to do Upgrade and The Invisible Man. I mean, it started with there's a pretty good pedigree to these movies. And so today we wanted to celebrate Blumhouse. You say tomato, I say, oh, never mind. I was going to say a swear word on this, but it's live.
You say tomato, I say tomato?
Yeah. Someone had a shirt that said, I say tomato. Wait, you say tomato, I say like F you. And so it's a shirt that always just made me laugh. And so what we're going to do today is to honor these movies we're going to pick five characters from a Blumhouse horror movie. So we're going to get funky like our other picks, celebrate these movies, and just have a good time. I'm looking forward to this. And I'm glad you brought this up, David, because we were forced to watch Black Christmas last night.
Mm.
And I mean, the critics dunked on it big time. Audiences hate it. They act like it's one of the most new, like, radioactive movies ever made. But it's good. And it has something to say. And I think if it was released now, it would be a lot more appreciated, I would say. Because it's good.
It's got good shots, very thoughtful composition where, you know, they make the space look richer than it probably was. I don't know what the budget was.
Yeah.
It looks more expensive than it is. There's a lot of perspective on that big, nice campus. There's a lot of stuff that's darkly funny that they're really just poking at things. But I think that people took it seriously.
Yeah. People just got so angry about it.
The remake of a remake?
Yeah, because there's Black Christmas, and then they did a Black Christmas with Lacey Chabert and
Michelle Trachtenberg
and Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and then they did this one. But I mean, if you think of what I think a lot of people miss, and I know we're going to get into the draft soon here, but I just want to tell everybody about this. And the first Black Christmas made in the 70s dealt with abortion and different issues. Mm. It really was quite progressive and violent at the time. But it had something to say. It had different types of characters. And so the one that came out in the 2000s was just a brightly colored, not good sandwich. I was going to say another word. And then this one that came out had something to say. I felt like it was progressive. It was good. And so I dig it.
The casts they work really well together. They've got nice relationships. And I mean, they've got a good chemistry considering how many women are in the movie.
Imogen Poots, can't go wrong with her.
She has chemistry with everybody. It's just it's
true. She could have been. She needs to be in the remake of Castaway.
She's the best.
Castaway?
Yes, because if
she's the castaway.
Yeah, okay. And I guarantee you, if a volleyball acted alongside next to her, the volleyball would get an Academy Award nomination. Because Everyone's like, man, that volleyball and Imogen had such great chemistry.
They'll create a props category.
No, they'll just give a best supporting actor, and it'll win. It'll make the speech. It'll be very awkward, and they'll regret it years later, but I think she could pull it off.
Yeah. But with a remake, they wouldn't do a volleyball. They would have to do something else, a different type of ball.
Oh, yeah. Dodgeball?
A polo ball. Rugby ball. She plays rugby. She's a rugby
Whoa, I like that. I like that. That's a good one.
Bocce balls?
Oh, there'd be three of them.
They just sink?
Yeah, we're already going off way down a rabbit hole.
Castaway with Hank the Bocce Ball coming this summer.
I wanted to mention one thing about Black Christmas. I saw the original in the theater. It was like, I'm not that old, but like they were just showing it at a theater. And I was like,
Dracula?
Third time going through grad school.
Is that what you shimmer?
Yeah, that's exactly why I shimmer. Yeah, yeah. But I saw it and I remember I have a lot of thoughts about that movie, but I don't want to get into. But I just remember walking out of the theater and someone was like, what the hell was that? And I was like, well, I guess you didn't really prep yourself for this movie. There's some rough parts to it. Not in the sense of like it's a bad movie, but like gory and disturbing.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So let's kick this off, right? We just settled it beforehand. You picked the order, David. Mm-hmm. So David picked the order and Megan gets the first pick. So this is big.
This is a big one.
This is ramifications for the rest of the draft.
Well, I told Mark there were like two characters that I was very, I want one of them. And I feel like David's going to pick the other one. So I'm going to go with Crystal, played by Betty Gilpin from The Hunt.
Yeah.
She's on my list.
Awesome surprise of a movie, by the way.
That's such her. So we watched it again, The Hunt.
I think we watched it like three times.
Her performance keeps getting better because it's just so weird, different.
Yeah.
She made choices that are really great.
Mm-hmm.
She's a badass.
She's obviously seen some stuff. She's got skills, but she's damaged. Oh, she's a fighter.
And I don't know what your thoughts are about The Hunt, David, but her character, I just love her performance in that. I think it's excellent. She's cool.
Yeah. The Hunt was the last movie I saw in the before times, before quarantine. I saw it, and then literally, this is not a joke, the next day New York went on quarantine. I was one of two people in a theater. I have I have mixed feelings about The Hunt, to be frank, but I really like her character and the actress in that film. She's by far the strongest part of it. And there's this scene where she does this, like, she's like, you know me, and she like spins her head finger like she's crazy, and it sealed it for me. That was the moment I was like, she's great in this role. Also that fight scene at the end.
Oh yeah,
perfect.
That's a final fight episode for sure.
Brutal.
I just like having Hilary Swank back.
Listen,
yeah,
we own a food processor, and that little thing in the middle is very sharp. Have stabbed my fingers on it before, so that was painful.
Man. So that would have been a first rounder for me, and that's off the board now. So yeah. David, we know who it is.
You do know who it is. You absolutely know who it is. My number one pick is Tree from Happy Death Day. I absolutely love that movie. It was a surprise when I saw it. I am banking. I'm really hoping for a third Happy Death Day. Happy Death Day to Us is the unofficial title.
Mm-hmm.
So what I love about her is that there's a clear story arc that she starts off as not a great person and then grows into being like a really cool person. And then the movie itself has a lot of really fun side characters. Danielle is one of them. Her, I guess, the president of her sorority.
Frenemy.
Yeah. But I absolutely love that movie. I didn't expect much of it when I went in. So when I left, I was very happy. And what got me was that it's a PG-13 movie. It's not even R, and it's great.
Her performance is...
She's very funny. She's great with the facial expressions and the physical comedy that's required of her in dying over and over and over again.
Oh, I love it. It's just, I'm glad it became a cult hit. And I remember when the sequel came out, it had great reviews. Everyone was just like, this is going to be a hit. And then it wasn't a hit. And it's just, I don't know why the second one didn't take off. I don't understand it. You know me, David, I like to really research movies and figure out, like, our League of Extraordinary Gentlemen episode that's coming out.
Oh, wow.
I love to look into movies and understand why they might have not done as well. But I don't know why this didn't pull in 50 million, 60 million, 70 million domestic and another same international. Like, this should have been a slam dunk, and we could have had the trilogy. It's an odd thing. I don't get it.
Did we see it in the theater?
Yeah.
My thoughts on that is that the second one, it has a lot more going on, and it's not as streamlined as the first one. Mm-hmm. And they were trying something new because it's a different genre. It's basically sci-fi.
Yeah.
But I really appreciated that. You know, I was like, this is different, and I like it. It still has the elements I want to see. But again, like, if they do the third one, I'm going to be in line. I'm going to go see it. Maybe I'll risk the Rona to do it. But I love those. I love that series.
So, since we've established that you're an immortal, what did you think about A Trip to the Moon when you watch it back in the day in France?
Yeah.
This is just a deepfake AI rendering of David because cameras can't see him. Yeah. So we're using some high-tech technology here.
It's some Invisible Man stuff.
Oh, God. Yeah, you know, when I saw it, I was just like, I wish I was there. Like, that's sort of my dream, you know, this deep fake. I wish I was an actor. I wish I could be on camera, but cameras can't pick me up. So you get this.
Maybe one day a millionaire will have commercial flights there.
Yeah. Could take a flight.
You think vampires would ever be like ventriloquists so they could be in actors? Because that's the only way. They could still hear their voice. So you'd be like on TV.
Well, they could be,
wow. A puppeteer.
Yeah, exactly.
Voice actors too. They could do animation.
I want to eat your cereal. All right, now I get to make my pick, and this is, I'm extremely happy. So my first one is Elise from all four Insidious films, Lin Shaye. And what I love about the Insidious films is that, and I'm stealing from you, Megan, that they go to a house, they find out the house is haunted, and they're like, we're out, we're gone. And then they move to another house, and then they're like, it follows you. It's not, you can't, like, so I just love, though, that their house is haunted. We're out. We're gone. And what I like about Elise is she's not doing it for money. She's not doing it for acclaim. She doesn't have a selfish, this isn't the Frighteners where she's tricking people for money. Elise is a ghost hunter because she's a good person. And I think she cares for people and she has that history. So her and Tucker and Specs, they go and they put their lives on the line to help. And what I love about Insidious 3 and 4, also in Insidious 3, that leg crunching scene is beautiful. But what I like about them is the last two Insidious movies have made somewhere close to 150 to 200 million worldwide, and they star Lin Shaye. Like, Lin Shaye is in a blockbuster franchise that it makes me so happy. Like, what other movies have 75-70-year-old women as the lead battling ghosts? And she brings a warmth to it. She also has that horror side. So I'm just happy that they gave her a big non-gross-out Farley Brothers role. And she has just been crushing it for 9 years now in four movies that have made bank. So
except The Challenge, Helen Mirren. Let's see it.
Yeah. Ooh.
Wait, what? Oh, what is this?
Ghost Hunter.
Oh, yeah. I have to admit, I've only seen the first movie. I haven't seen the other ones. And I knew that was going to be a point of contention in this draft. Because I was like, oh, no, I haven't seen the biggest ones.
So the second one, Megan and I went and watched it, and I was a nervous wreck when we got out of that theater. The second one's a roller coaster, and I was frazzled. I was tired. And in the third one, there's a villain called the Man Who Can't Breathe. And he makes this girl, she has broken legs. He makes her walk.
Oh, that one was upsetting.
And when she walks, you just hear... And her legs are just crunching as she walks. It's beautiful. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I had to pick Elise. That's my number one. So my number two. All right. My number two is Stem from Upgrade.
Oh, OK.
Voiced by Simon Madden. And have you watched Upgrade?
Oh, yeah.
And so I just showed Megan Upgrade. Mm-hmm. And I always know when Megan likes something when. So we were working out while watching it, and Megan just wasn't working out. She was just watching the movie. So I always know when Megan likes it.
You will miss something in this movie if you're not watching it.
But there are some movies where you can just go in and out and stuff. But I just saw Megan watching it. And I think Logan Marshall Green's physicality nails the role. Mm-hmm. Leigh Whannell's directing, just knowing how to make a dirt cheap movie look beautiful. But I just like Stem's plan. Stem's a maniac, and Stem plays everybody. And I just love the relationship between the two. I think it's a fun movie. I love Venom, too. I'd love for Stem and Venom to hang out. That'd be, oh, my gosh. Logan Marshall Green and Tom Hardy.
Oh, my gosh. That would be fun.
So, yeah, I had to pick
Stem and Venom.
I'm taking Stem and Venom. Oh, I like that name. Stenum.
The buddy cop movie.
I like Stenum.
My joke about that movie is that it's a better Venom. I think Upgrade's a better Venom. They're, like, pretty similar.
I love. They're so different.
I mean, I think it plays with a lot of things that people have done with AI and books and movies before, but it still manages to make it interesting and fresh, and it's telling this different sort of, you know, it's casing it in a different package, which makes it fun.
Logan Marshall Green and Tom Hardy look alike already. Mm-hmm. And in both the movies, they're just very sweaty. They're very... tired. They're freaking out. I would just love the two of them freaking out together in a film. The Freak Out Brothers. The Hardy Brothers. The Hardy Brothers starring Logan Marshall Green and Tom Hardy.
What if they had to fight over a lobster?
They would both go into the tank and they would fight for it. I love that scene. Someone wrote this thing about Tom Hardy and Venom. He's incredibly jacked up, but the entire movie, he's sweaty, gross, tired. He looks like he's on the verge of a nervous breakdown the entire film, and they loved it because he's just a sweaty eating lobster guy.
Mm-hmm.
But no, so yeah, I had to. That's my second pick is Stem. So I'm going with that.
Okay. So back to me. Yep. So my number two pick is Maddie from Hush.
Oh, Meg.
Here's my reasoning. She is perhaps the most competent, quote unquote, final girl I have seen in a film.
Yeah,
she's 100% all there, super smart, and she just whoops butt the entire time. I'm super shocked that I hadn't seen that movie until last night, actually. She's fantastic, absolutely. Oh,
I tell people
fantastic
to watch it all the time.
Yeah,
You don't like horror, you should watch this anyway.
Yeah, it's great. There's all the misdirection she does really, really got me excited, and I mean it's horror, but. Is it also a thriller? Is it maybe a little bit of a thriller? I think it's maybe a little bit of a thriller.
Horror thriller? Because there's a mass killer. Yeah. Well, someone, he's only masked for a little bit. That's what I kind of love.
Yeah. And you don't know his motivation. You never find his motivation out, which is also pretty interesting.
Yeah. He just shows up.
Yeah, it's one of those movies where they don't really explain, because you know how sometimes people get caught up after a movie asking all of the questions. Well, what was this motivation and where did that come from? And who cares? It's a movie that doesn't care about those questions. And it's just simple.
My stepdad was evil.
Yeah, there you go. Done.
Made fun of me in fifth grade. None of that.
You did me wrong.
Yeah.
Like they, in my head canon, I was like, this is one of the four people she tried to date on her app, but I know that's not possible, but still it's like in my head, I still said, yeah, this is what's going on.
That's a great pick. I mean, and that's a great pick. That's a good character. We've loved Hush for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anytime. So because everyone's talking about Haunting of Bly Manor right now, which we haven't finished yet, so no spoilers, but the first season, Haunting of Hill House, with her in it, Katie Siegel, who's married to Mike Flanagan, the director of both show and movie. Anytime someone brings up Haunting, I'm like, you got to watch Hush. Mm-hmm. You need it in your life.
Yeah. It's so good. It's a good. And when she hurts her hand, that scene where mm-hmm. her hands get jacked. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Good pick.
The moment that I knew that I was going to pick her, this is a minor spoiler, is when she went out back and threw, I guess it was a flashlight behind the house to distract the guy so she can run back and get the phone off her friend's dead body. And I was like, oh yeah, like this woman's super smart.
Yeah. It was such a refreshing movie the way it played out too. Mm-hmm. I don't like mass killers most of the time. I like a mass supernatural killer, but when they just wear a mask for the heck of it, I don't know. It's not big. Like Scream, I guess, cause that's more humor.
What about Scream Queens?
That's funny. The first season. I guess I like mass killers when they're in on the joke, not when they're serious mass killers.
Okay.
I have a hang up. I have a very odd hang up about mass killers.
Supernatural masked killers, but yeah. Regular killers, no.
unless they're cheeky about it, or they're mimicking somebody.
Like
if it's
the baby face, that's in on the joke, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's in on the joke. I just don't want somebody. I'm a super evil guy. Boop. Mask. Like, no, like what? You're not. I don't know. I don't like you. I don't like okay. that. You got to have fun with it. You can't be look at my mask. Like I picked this out. I made it. Okay, Meg, who's your second pick?
Well, because David picked my second pick, I'm just going to go out of the normal stream of things. And I'm just going to do this one. Rod Williams, the TSA agent from Get Out.
Yes.
Oh, you just picked my third pick.
I love that guy. He is such a
a hero. Okay.
Yeah.
TSA hero.
TSA. The cops won't listen to him. He shows up. Ah, what a great character. It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar nominated.
Well, and I love that he comes back into the movie at a point when you've sort of written that sort of thing off.
Mm-hmm.
And he just appears and he's awesome.
Now,
TSA.
Can I ask y'all a question? So the original cut was really.
Yeah.
Oof. It was like Night of the Living Dead type of ending, just brutal. 1968. I think. Listen, if that was the ending, audiences would have walked out pissed off. But the ending mm-hmm. that is with the TSA, him showing up, it's much more people kind of sort of came out happy. It was like a catharsis. Like it mm-hmm. just I'm mm-hmm. glad that Jordan Peele had him show up and save the day.
Yeah, there are movies that can pull off that dark, upsetting ending like The Black Coat's Daughter. But this wasn't that movie.
Mm-mm.
TSA makes it for me.
The cheering during the murder in Get Out. It was a bonding experience for people.
Oh. Yeah, real good. Real good film.
Like Ready or Not.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
The murders in that one. You were cheering for those people to die. Bashing her head in with a wooden box. Do it.
Have you seen Ready or Not?
Oh, I have. I thought it was a Blumhouse. It's not, right? I thought it was. And I was getting ready to pick Samara Weaving's character before I looked it up. And I was like, I've been foiled again.
Oh, my gosh. I totally would have picked. I don't remember his name in the movie. For some reason, I want to say Donnie, but the brother-in-law
from played Orphan by, Black.
Yeah, Christian Brune. He is so funny. Sitting there on the toilet watching the crossbow video.
Idiot.
His friends are texting him.
The sister who keeps killing people.
He's alive until the very end of the movie, too.
He did good. It's
impressive. Right. Such a dimwit.
Who's your next?
Okay. My next one is going to be... I'm going to go weird again and do Franny from Black Christmas. she was one of the sorority sisters, and from the first moment she's on screen, she's looking for a lost item, and she comes barging into our main character's room, and she's just very, she seems to not care what people think, and she's, you know, shoving maxi pads into her pants in the middle of a screen, and just, she's kind of crazy.
She likes cats.
She loves cats, yeah. She's trying to get the cat on a little bit of a weight loss plan because it gains too much over winter break.
She comes onto the screen almost fully realized, and that doesn't happen much with characters,
that's true.
I would say.
She really is. And she's, it's funny, it's refreshing. It's not, she, they're not trying to hide, you know, anything about the fact that she's female.
Yeah, she's good.
There's no apologies for who she is. It's just her.
It's a good character. It's a good side character. I recommend that movie. I enjoyed it. I mean, I guess if you're, oh, never mind, I'm not going to bring it up on the show, but we'll talk about it on a separate podcast. So who's your next one, David?
Okay. My number three is James Lanier, the detective from Invisible Man. It's her friend.
Yeah.
And I love that movie. I'm particularly picking him because he is an incredibly solid character throughout the whole film. I mean that he's managing to raise a daughter. He's helping his friend out. He's good at his job. He lets her get away at the end. Sorry for the spoiler, but he's just all around an awesome character. And I like that actor.
Yeah, Aldis Hodge. He's going to be in the Black Adam film, maybe Shazam 2 with Dwayne Johnson. He's going to be in there. So he's going to be a DCEU character very soon. So hopefully he'll finally get the exposure he deserves. Because, I mean, he's a good actor.
Are you
and he's
implying jacked. That Leverage wasn't widely watched?
People love Leverage.
They used to be in on the one of the downstairs break room TVs when we were back at the office. I would walk in and Leverage would be on. Like, what is Timothy Hutton doing on our work screen?
in so many movies, it gets annoying when people just don't believe the person. Oh, come on. It's nice that he was supportive in that. I mean, yeah. It went a little far with a couple instances, but it's understandable. So it's just nice to have that presence and not just that character you hate. Who's like, I don't believe you. Like, who's this person? I don't believe you.
He's Phil from the gas station in, where are they in the hunt? Arkansas?
Oh, yeah. Good hallway fight in Invisible Man.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Really brutal. I definitely looked away. Yeah.
I like the shots, how you did a side-by-side for me of Upgrade versus that hallway fight.
Yeah. I showed Megan, it's Lee Wannell really upgraded.
Oh, and it's the same cinematographer, too.
And so
Upgraded. Oh, upgraded. My gosh.
No, the hallway fight, if you watch the hallway fight from Invisible Man and the kitchen fight from Upgrade, pretty similar fight, just with more money and less faces getting ripped in half.
That's so gross.
Yeah. And the thing with Upgrade, I was having more fun watching that fight, but I was more invested in the Invisible Man fight. It was more brutal. Like watching it, I was like, oh, these guys don't deserve this.
Yeah. Stop hurting these guys.
Yeah, there's much more mass casualty in that one.
Oh, I love the exploding heads in Upgrade too. Oh my gosh. All right. So am I up?
Yeah.
Oh no. Okay. I have a pretty, oh man.
Oh man.
Okay. Can I do a duo? They're a pair.
It's up to you.
Huh.
Is that, can I do that or no? Is that allowed?
Oh, I think that's okay.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to go with Vicky and Julian from Halloween.
Mm.
The really nice babysitter.
Not the duo I thought you were going to
pick. And Julian, the boy that she's watching in Halloween. I like their dynamic. I don't like Halloween. I don't like the 2018 movie. I really, it's okay, I guess, but I'm not too into it. I really like, instead, I liked Vicky the most. Vicky and Julian. I like the kid a lot. I think he was a really interesting find from David Gordon Green and Danny McBride. I liked how she tucks him in. She's the only person I really like in that movie. And she gets murdered. Yeah. But I like Julian. He's a good kid. And I don't know. That's my pair. And I kind of wanted to talk about Halloween because it was such a smashing success. But that's the only part I liked. I liked Vicky and I liked Julian. They're my favorites in that movie. I don't know if you remember them, though.
I do. Vicky's boyfriend, Dave, was there, and Julian was like, don't go in there, you'll get killed. And he did it anyway.
Yeah.
He was my number 7 pick.
I love Julian. Isn't he a nice, he's a cool kid.
Yeah, he is. He's really, he stole the movie.
And I'm telling you, the chemistry the two had in their scenes, Vicky and Julian, in 3 minutes is far outweighs any, I don't know, they were able to capture something and I liked them. I felt nothing during that movie, but when they, I mean, Julian lives, but then when Vicky, I don't know, I just felt so bad for her. She seemed nice and she was nice and she liked Julian. Just good people. So that's mine. And then let's see, I got one more.
Yep.
Okay. This one's going to be, okay. I already picked Insidious, so I'm not going to go with another Insidious character that's scared to live in daylights out of me.
Mm.
So y'all have gone weird. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take Penelope, played by Sophie Taylor Ali in Truth or Dare. Have you watched Truth or Dare?
I haven't. I know nothing about Truth or Dare.
So,
this girl.
There's nothing about her character except for the fact that she drinks a lot of vodka during the day. She's a day drinker.
Well, there was the mojito scene.
Oh, yeah, and mojitos. She has a terrible boyfriend. But I just like in this really not great movie, Truth or Dare, how drama-free her character was. She just gets drunk, and then she sacrifices herself to save her friend. Mm-hmm. So Lucy Hale. So she's just, there's not much to the character. She just day drinks and she sacrifices herself. But I don't know. When everyone else is so bratty in that movie and mm-hmm. angsty, you appreciate the day drinking college student.
Yeah. Not a lot of likable characters in that movie.
I want that to be on the review.
What a mean ending too. Oh my God.
Yeah. That was a funky, but no, I liked her. I thought she was, I don't know. She was at least drama free. Give her some vodka, send her off. Great day.
Well, and the fun thing about her is you think at one point she's saved and then very shortly after she's murdered.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're like, oh, good. She survived the dare and the ordeal and it's okay. And then.
It was, yeah. And they use teamwork. And then she dives in front of the lady. She does one of these, the bodyguard. Like she's Secret Service and just gets.
like that.
Yeah. So it's a weird pick. But, you know, I don't want to pick all mainstays this time. So that's my fourth, and I'm sticking with it.
Yeah. My draft has been blown up. I'm like, who do I pick now? Good thing I have a longer list, because basically everyone I was going to pick is gone. okay, so this is my third?
Yep.
Fourth.
Yep,
fourth. Yeah, fourth. Okay, this is I'm struggling with this one. I think I'm going to go with Kaylee from Oculus, and that's the sister, played by Karen Gillian.
Oh.
So what's
on your list?
That's an alternate.
Yeah, same. My first alternate. What I love about her character is that she is hyper competent and driven. Like she has a plan and she put it into motion and she was going to execute on that plan. The only small thing I didn't like was that she was willing to kill her dog, her no-named dog in that film to get the plan rolling.
I hate that stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, hyper competent.
And Karen Gillan's cool. And we liked that character, too. We watched that before we watched Doctor Who.
We watched that on a plane.
Yeah. And it drew us in to it. And I didn't know that she was in Doctor Who. I was like, she's good. Mm-hmm. I need to watch her in more. And I didn't know she was in Guardians of the Galaxy because of all the the makeup and stuff. No, it has a nice mean ending. It's another Flanagan special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, real mean. I was like, no!
No, yeah, I love it. I love that pick. She has a good ponytail walk, too. Remember the beginning, chasing her, the ponytails? It's like, perfectly in step. I don't know, I remember that.
Yeah, that's a good callback, though.
Yeah, I retain some things.
I love Karen Gillan. She's such a goober in some movies or shows, and then she's so focused or serious in other things. She's a good actress.
Excellent. Who you got next?
Okay.
You gotta finish up your picks.
No, man. I'm okay. I'm gonna go with Brax Weaver from Fantasy Island. One of a duo of two brothers. That is a bonkers movie. It is so crazy, and I kind of appreciate that about it.
I really appreciate it. It's insane.
I just love that about that movie.
Is this movie going there? It went there. Why?
Or is this movie still going? Yes, it's still going, and there's more.
There's a grenade subplot.
Oh yeah, and all the soldiers and just
Michael Rooker's in it.
What?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and so is what's his name from Sons of Anarchy? Kim Coates.
Yeah, Kim Coates is in it.
I've had multiple people tell me that they think that Fantasy Island is a movie made specifically for me. Yeah. They're like, it's so weird that you'd love it. I just haven't got around to watching it yet, but it's on my list. I'm very excited to get to it.
So weird. I will not give you spoilers about Brax, but he is just, you know, all of the characters are kind of neat at some point. They are one thing, but then maybe they're not that thing as you get further into the movie and there's so much more story there. And he's really funny.
Yeah.
He's what movie was he from before that?
Ryan Hansen?
No.
Jimmy
O. Yang.
Oh, he was from Crazy Rich Asians.
And he just plays kind of a bonkers.
In Silicon Valley. So yeah. Silicon Valley.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Silicon Valley. That's another movie. My brother. No, he's great. I like him.
Mm-hmm. You got to watch Fantasy Island, David. It is nuts.
We'll do an episode on it.
Yeah, yeah. If it's as crazy as you say it is, I think we could get all three of us on that episode then.
What? Oh my gosh, there would be so much to talk about.
Like, why? Please. Why is this happening? And then it happens, and you're like, well, they wrote it. It gets there.
And then at some point you're like, oh, this is a nice story being fulfilled. And then you're like, wait, that's not even the main story. What is happening here?
Then you got Michael Pena being great.
Yeah. Oh, he's always good. He's not like the super funny Pena in this one, but he's still great.
Yeah, he's normal Pena.
He's not talking fast and delivering a backstory.
It's not observe and report Pena.
Yeah.
Right. Final pick.
Oh, no, this is tough. I've got a few more people. Who do I want to pick, though?
It's tough.
I know. I think I'll go back to what you had said for Insidious back in the beginning. Why you like Insidious is that the family identifies a problem and they try to address it. They're not denying that there's ghosts. They're not denying that there's something spooky happening. So Renai Lambert, from the wife, which is played by Rose Byrne in Insidious.
Rose Byrne's the best.
Yeah, she's good.
Can't beat her. Peter Rabbit, crazy. Spy, amazing. She's so good. Mm-hmm. She's so good. Neighbors. I'm just saying movies. Right. No, but no. It's what I like about her is she's been in some good horror movies. 28 Weeks Later, that.
Oh, yeah.
And I like that this movie had a $1.5 million budget. So she probably got fed in coffee or paid in coffee for this movie. Like, you can't. She probably did it for free.
Do you think they get a bunch of points on the back end? That's how they do these movies.
That's what they do, these Blumhouse. You get bank on the back end.
Some credits.
Yeah, you get bank on the back end. So she probably walked away with a good paycheck. And the second one, I bet you she made some good money. But no, you can't go bad. Rose Byrne's the best.
I mean, I had known her from Damages at that point, and I really loved her in that show. And then she started doing these movies, and, you know, first more serious, and now they're really comedic ones. And just, I've really liked following her.
In Wicker Park.
Oh, yeah. That's a weird movie.
Josh Hartnett.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying names. You're Diane Kruger. The Wicker Man, Nick Cage.
Bears.
Yeah.
Right. Witches, honey.
Honey. Right,
movies, speed door. What do you see next?
The bees.
All right. My number five. So I'm struggling here. I'm gonna let you into what my thought process is. I think it's between the movie Creep and Split. And Creep, it's Joseph, the main character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nominally the main character, definitely the antagonist. I love Split. I think it's a fantastic movie. But I don't like any of the personalities that Kevin displays. I believe he has like 9 in the first one. Mm-hmm. And the closest one I could get to that, like, feeling some type of joy with would be Hedwig, the little boy.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, I'm like, it's creepy to see a grown man play a little boy.
Yeah. You should take Joseph so I don't have to, so I feel better about leaving him out.
Yeah, I feel like he's just so awkward and weird and strange.
Floss Brother. Mm-hmm. They do that so well.
And Wolfie the Mask.
Yeah, it's so good. I'm going to go with Creep.
Creep? You're a creep?
Joseph. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Do some Radiohead. No, it's a good performance. Patrick Bryce, the director's cool. I remember I shared a lot of his. I wrote the review for Creep pretty early, and he shared it. That was one of my first big director shares. And I was like, oh man, I gotta share it from a director on my review because of Creep. But yeah, no, I dig that movie. Duplass is excellent. It's a weird performance. performance, right? I like the sequel too. It's 100. It's close to 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It is 100%. Yeah, it's 100%.
I mean, there's nothing to not like about it. It's creepy.
Oh my gosh, yeah. My entire list has already been knocked out.
Wow.
Between, I think, all of us.
Okay, so I got the last pick here. All right, so I'm going to leave out Mr. Rourke, Michael Peña. I'm going to leave out the red lipstick demon from Insidious because that thing crushed me when I first watched it. I jumped. You picked Joseph, so I'm set there. I was going to do Pop Pop from The Visit just simply because of the diaper scene. So these kids, they go to this place, and this guy has a diaper, and he poops into it.
Great.
And he walks up with this diaper in his hands, and he smushes it into this kid's face.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah, it's like that was M. Night's comeback.
It's like the scene in The Lighthouse when he throws the...
it's right back at him.
It comes right back in his face.
But yeah, so Pop Pop and his diaper bit. Have you seen The Visit?
I've seen the first 30 minutes and I turned it off when the boy started rapping.
Got it. He's just... the grandpa just poops himself and then smushes it into a kid's face. And you're like, what is happening? This is amazing. All right, so this leaves me with... Okay, I don't... Toby from Paranormal Activity. That's my fifth. Now, in the first Paranormal Activity, I love that the demon was just it didn't have a name. It was just mean, and it wanted to murder, and it was cruel. And later on, they name it Toby, but it's a through line through the rest of the franchise. But I had to pick Paranormal Activity in there somewhere since we're doing Blumhouse. So I'm taking Toby because just the first movie, because that thing was nightmare fuel in the first one. I mean, just... the stepping with the baking powder or soda, whatever powder is down there, and just leaving stuff in the attic and dragging away. And just Toby's mean. Toby was mean. But once you learn more about it, you're like, but I'm picking Toby. So that's mine. That's my final one. And I'm sticking to it. Toby from Paranormal Activity.
All right. Locked.
You shouldn't name evil monsters Toby.
No, not at all.
Kevin.
It's like
Kevin the Monster.
It should be called like DeMorgan Gorgon or DeMorgan or Demon Face.
Beezle Schmab.
Yeah. Beezle Schmab.
Beezle Schmab. So hard to pronounce. Like, it's Beezle Schmab is killing me.
Crankus.
I like Crankus. Exactly. I do like Beezle Schmab. Like that's the
like non-committal.
No yeah, is that Beezle Schmab? Yeah, it's just Krampus or Kicker. Just but Kicker. But Toby.
Saw.
Saw Blade. It's two of them. That's a lot. But yeah, once you name it Toby, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. But I got to go with Toby because that's what made Blumhouse Blumhouse. So I know we've left out a lot of stuff. I mean, we've left out the Unfriended characters. I like Unfriended. Unfriended Dark Web hit me hard. It punched me.
Pick like one more really weird one.
I would say do honorable mentions.
Like yes, I have honorable mentions.
So I just shot out all mine. I do want to give props to Ethan Hawke's sweater in Sinister. And the creature in Sinister is Beowbug or something it's an evil name. Mm-hmm. It's not Toby, right? It's not Br Schmar. Wait, what is that?
I
love that name. I just took a Swedish accent to it.
You're going to have to listen to the recording again to get that performance.
So, yeah, I already got mine out. So, yeah, honorable mentions?
My honorable mention, I think the top one on my list is the cupcake from Happy Death Day. Because
oh, wow.
Over and over, you don't realize that cupcake is a killer at first, but it is.
That cupcake's a killer. I like it.
Yeah, I have a couple. So... I thought someone would pick Danielle from Happy Death Day because she is.
Thought about
she's
it.
She's hilarious.
Yeah, she's great. Funny.
I just didn't want her on my team because she's such a jerk.
Yeah. I kind of love Nick from Happy Death Day as well. That scene where he's dancing in his room because he's so oblivious and it's goofy and weird. And you're like, this 20-year-old guy thinks this is cool. This is amazing. And then I have one that it's not weird. And I didn't pick her because I didn't know how to actually talk very succinctly about her is Lola / the doppelganger from Cam.
Oh yeah.
It's like the monster. It doesn't have a name. It's just whatever, just Lola. I love that movie and I think it's fantastic and it doesn't get enough press.
Yeah, it's good. I that's a good pull right there. I like that.
My other one was Ike Barinholtz or Staten Island from The Hunt, because, I mean, I just love seeing him in anything. We watched him on Mindy because we used to love, I've read two of her autobiographies and they're hilarious, but he's just so funny and he brings this weirdness to stuff. We also have another Mindy alum on there, Duplass.
Oh, you have 17 Guns? Yeah. Mark Webber's really good in 13 Sins. I don't know if y'all have watched that.
No, I haven't.
Oh, got it. No, but I mean, listen, well, going through all these movies, I mean, it's just been, we've left out a lot of the films.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we really covered the bases for them, the good, the bad, and the ugly of Blumhouse. I mean, Truth or Dare, I pick from. Jeez Louise.
I'm at the max on my list. I mean, we mentioned everything. If we had more people here, I would have been in trouble.
Yeah.
I would have been probably missing people.
But I think we all got our number one picks, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
I'm happy with mine. No one actually picked any of mine.
I didn't.
Is that bad? Oh, no, you picked Joseph.
I didn't have to go off list for anything, so that's good.
Yeah. You didn't have to go to the boy next door and take J-Lo?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
What I like is that no one picked a heavy hitter like Michael Myers or The Shape. I was like, you could have picked that. And if you were putting this up to vote, like, automatically going to get 60% of the vote.
Mm-hmm. Or not like Mr. Glass or.
Yeah. Julian's way better than Michael Myers.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah. Even the other boy, the boy he murders, is better.
I just got to dance. You know, Dad, I love going on these things with you, but I just got to express myself. And then he gets murdered by Michael Myers.
Well, as you do.
I should have picked the dummies in Laurie Strode's home. That
the knife
that she
would like, yeah, to pick the knife. Thank
the
you.
Knife. But she carries up these dummies into her second story home. And then Michael Myers hides in there. Like, you've been protecting yourself from the boogeyman, and you go and you put human beings with white faces in your home. It's not human beings. What's the word? Mannequins.
Yeah.
You put mannequins in your home with white faces that match his mask. It's not the best idea, Lori. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Oh, I could have picked the spike pit from The Hunt.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be all right.
Yeah.
Walk it off. Tomorrow, and the grenades.
Tomorrow is my birthday today.
Yeah. No, but this was fun. Thank you all for joining us. This is a good one.
This is great. Thank you.
Tell us about the hot dog recipe, David. What was the hot dog recipe?
Oh, yeah. I knew you were going to ask this question. I was struggling with it a little bit because we are recording a episode on The Craft, which has some similar themes. It's horror themed. So I was like, I don't know what to pick. So what I came up with was, I think this movie would be paired with a goat sausage because of my mind was in The Witch. And
yeah.
Black Phillip. So you like, goats are associated with horror and horror is associated with, you know, the devil and so down the line. Here's the thing, though. I've never had goat sausage. Hmm. I've had lamb sausage, but I've never had goat sausages. So I don't know where to find it.
You better go and get it.
Goat tacos are goat. Popular at some of the Mexican places around here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go try those.
I don't think I've ever had goat, period. I'll be frank.
I don't think we have either.
You better goat for it.
Oh.
Yo.
Fun city.
Then my other concept was doing bangers, but like the original concept of bangers, you know, when like they had so much water in the sausage that they would explode when you put on the skillet, because all these movies are bangers.
Oh, we can end on that. But make sure to listen to David's podcast, the Award Wieners Movie Review Podcast. The Apartment is the latest episode, and this is going out tomorrow, so it's actually your latest episode.
Make yourself a Blum hot dog.
Ooh,
yeah,
good. Blumhouse dog.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, Blum hot dog.
Mm-hmm. Lots of ketchup.
Oh,
oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I got nothing. But yeah, listen to the Award Wieners Movie Review Podcast. It's a lot of fun. You'll learn a lot. But thank you for joining me, everybody. This was fun.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, and for David Cross, and for Megan Hoffmeyer, I was going to call you two Tucker and Specs, but I was like, I don't know how that works. Who's the Elise here?
I mean,
yeah.
Me.
Yeah. So for movies, for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, this is Movies, Films, and Flicks. We'll see you next week. Or not, because this is a video, and we'll probably release one a month later. But you get the gist. We'll see y'all later. But.